indeed grace and peace. The war is over between God and fallen humanity. Peace to you from God the Father and the one who earned that peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, glad to be back with you. Buenos dias. That's about the extent of my Spanish. Thank goodness I had a private translator for 3 weeks. That would be my lovely wife, who was able to communicate fluently in Spanish, or I would still be wandering the Andes Mountains, lost and forlorn. Again, grace and peace to you. As I read again these words of the gospel lesson, please rise. By the way, I understand that Pastor Kruger last week was wonderful. I'm going to call him and tell him we're not having you back again. They liked you better than me. I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 10, I'd like to read these words from the end of the chapter where Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill your soul. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is God's word. In Jesus' name. As I mentioned earlier this morning, today happens to be the anniversary of the presentation of what is called the Augsburg Confession. This very critical document was named after the city of Augsburg, Germany. It was on June the 25th, 1530, some 487 years ago, that certain Protestant reformers, most of them lay people like you, not all pastors like me, but lay people, led by the Germans out of Saxony, made their confession of faith before the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V. They made it very clear that their intention was not to be a cult. Their intention, as I made clear a moment ago, was not to start a new church called the Lutheran Church. Their goal was to take the Catholic Church that they loved and reform it, get rid of the superstitions that had infected it during the Middle Ages. As they said, "Our churches do not dissent from any article of the faith held by the Church Catholic. We only admit some of the newer abuses. It is clear that in doctrine and ceremonies, we have received nothing contrary to the Bible or the Catholic Church." Now, those Lutheran reformers, or Catholic reformers, Protestants, if I may use that word, were suspected not just of heresy, but also of treason against the Roman Empire. And so the Germans began their confession in what may seem to be a rather strange way. "We agree with the Council of Nicaea that there is one God in three persons and three persons in one God." Now, why do they insist on the Nicene Creed in the first article of their confession? Because since the year 380 AD, the Nicene Creed was part of the constitution of the Holy Roman Empire. And anybody who rejected the Nicene Creed was not only considered a heretic, but was also considered a traitor against the state, and could be, probably would be, arrested, driven out of the country, perhaps even executed. And so it was very critical that right out of the gate, these Protestant reformers affirm their commitment to the Council of Nicaea. "We are not heretics. We are not traitors against the state. We are good Catholics. We want to reform the church." Now, some of you may already be falling asleep and drifting off somewhere. Any of you want to raise your hand? Are you doing that? Don't raise your hand. You may wonder, what's the big deal about this business, the Augsburg Confession? Who cares? What does that have to do with me tomorrow, Monday morning, when I got to go to work or whatever? Well, it has a lot to do with you. And I became vividly aware of this these last 3 weeks in my travels to Bolivia. Anybody ever been to Bolivia? When we were going to go, I had a lot of people say, "Bolivia, what do you want to do in Bolivia? Isn't that where Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid held their last stands? That's all they know about Bolivia." I will tell you, Bolivia is a glorious country. It's a beautiful country. Mountain ranges all over, snow-capped mountains, they are magnificent. The food is fantastic. The Amazon jungle, which we got into a portion of it, an amazing place. The birds and the wildlife are just incredible. We spent an entire morning, an hour or two, I think, watching the macaws. You know what those are? Beautiful birds, different colors, flying around. By the way, they mate for life. I didn't know this. They mate for life. And if their mate dies, The other macaw never remarries again. I guess if I can use that word, they just stay single the rest of their lives. Funny thing. But they were squawking and flying around having a marvelous time. They're beautiful birds. And the cities in Bolivia match the glory of Europe and in fact surpass it. Nobody knows this. By the way, the city of Potosi, if I pronounced that correctly, was at one time, 16th century, a little earlier, one of the wealthiest cities in the entire world. Did you know that 60% of all the silver mined in the world came from one mountain near Potosi? The Cerro Rico, I think is the name of it. By the way, a little interesting tidbit I learned, that our dollar sign, with the S it looks like, and the thing through it, comes from an abbreviation for the name Potosi. If they took P-S-T-I and they superimposed on each other, came up with this dollar-looking sign. So even today, our currency is related back to this Bolivian city, Potosi, because it was a wealthy city. The sad story there is that the Spanish came in there and basically, if I may use this word, raped the country, took all the silver out of the mountains, took it all back to Spain, and left poor Bolivia a impoverished country. Sad thing. Well, Potosi, Bolivia, other cities, the mountains, the birds, the Amazon, marvelous, marvelous country, but there's a sad part to the story. Like the thick clouds that often hide the glory of the mountains, there's a dark spiritual cloud that hangs over Bolivia. And it darkens the country spiritually. And what is it? That most of the people in Bolivia, certainly the indigenous people, are driven by superstition and ignorance of God's forgiving grace. Not to say Christianity is unknown in Bolivia. The majority of people in Bolivia are Roman Catholics. But they are Catholics of a medieval Roman Catholicism that was completely unaffected by the Lutheran Reformation. The Reformation never made it to Bolivia. And so you have a Catholicism that is steeped in ignorance and superstition that reflects the 13th, 12th, 11th century. For example, the indigenous people worship what they call Pachamama, Mother Earth, and they conflate it with the Virgin Mary. And they believe that Pachamama is a fertility goddess. She's the one who causes the crops to come. She is the one who gives fertility to the animals and fertility to humans. And so every day they pour out a drink offering to Pachamama and at the same time pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary. They conflate these two together. In fact, if you look at the painting of the Virgin Mary in Bolivia, she has a big skirt, looks like a mountain, which is what it is. At the top of the mountain is the Virgin Mary's head. They've totally blended together, Pachamama and the Virgin Mary. That's the Catholic Church in Bolivia. She is an ever-present deity who gives success, gives fertility, sustains all life on the earth. Her shrines are hollowed rocks, trees, and coca leaves. After the conquest by Spain, which forced conversion of the indigenous people of Roman Catholicism, the figure of the Virgin Mary basically again was blended with that of Pachamama for many of the indigenous people. And sadly, I say again, tragically, the Reformation never got to Bolivia. And so the country is mired in a form of Christianity that you would hardly recognize here in the States. And I suspect that many Roman Catholics in the United States, if they went to Bolivia, would probably say, that's not the Catholic Church I know. That's why the Augsburg Confession is so important, folks. Thanks to God that we have the gospel preached purely, thanks to the Lutheran Reformation. As we read in the Augsburg Confession, we are all under one Christ. We ought to confess this one Christ as the only Savior of the world and do everything according to God's truth. And with the most fervent prayers, this is what we ask of our Lord. Now, making confession of the truth, we are doing exactly what the Lord Jesus wants us to do in this gospel lesson today, when he says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Now, some of you may know, you've heard this before, the word translated acknowledge is in Greek, homologein. Logein means to say something. Homo obviously means same thing. So what Jesus is saying that we are to confess the Jesus that he has told us to confess, not make up stories, superstitions about religion, but go to what Jesus and the apostles have told us to say. Say the same thing. God deliver us from entrepreneuring, inventive, creative ministers. We don't want that. We want to confess what Jesus told us to say. And that's what the Lutheran Confessions do, the Augsburg Confession especially. Actually begins on the title page with a quote from the psalm, "I will speak of your testimonies, O God, before kings. I will not be put to shame." So, what are we supposed to confess? Well, quite clearly, Jesus. That he is the Savior of the world. He is the only Savior. And as important as the Mother of God is, and we as Lutherans do honor the Virgin Mary, we do not hesitate to call her the Mother of God, because the child she gave birth to was God. Yet we don't pray to her, we don't ask her to intercede for us before Jesus, we do that only to our Lord Jesus. The Mother of our Lord is not our intercessor, she is not some kind of goddess. If you go to Bolivia again, her image is everywhere, dressed in a skirt again that imitates Pachamama. Indeed, Jesus himself rejected this kind of idea of worship of his mother. You may remember as he came into Jerusalem once, someone from the crowd cries out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." And what is Jesus' response? "No! Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And while Jesus honored his mother, he would not let people reverence her or give her the honor due to God alone. We do not pray to the Virgin Mary. We do not ask her to intercede for us. As St. Peter clearly says, there is salvation in no one else, not in Mary, not in Luther, not in me, not in you, not in Papa Machapama, only salvation in Jesus Christ. As Peter says, there is salvation in no one else, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Many of the indigenous Bolivians do not understand this. They do not understand that Jesus is the only sacrifice for sins. In La Paz, we visit, which is the capital city of Bolivia, the guide showed us how many of the indigenous people will take llama fetuses, little tiny fetuses of a llama, and they'll put them in a basket with pieces of candy, titled like education, good health, raising children, etc. And they offer this to the priest, who then burns the llama fetus with all these candies, buries it in the ground as an offering to Pachamama, so that we are guaranteed of forgiveness and life and fertility. There is no real knowledge of the fact that there is no llama who is sacrificed for our salvation. There is only one, if I may use the word, only one animal that was sacrificed for us, and that is the Lamb of God, Jesus, our Savior. He is the one who gave his life as a payment for the sins of the world. He is the one raised from the dead on the third day by God the Father, assuring us that God accepted that sacrifice. By the way, I'm not aware of any llama fetuses that have been burned up and buried in the ground as an offering to Pachamama, which have been raised from the dead. There are still ashes buried in the ground of Bolivia. There is only one Lamb of God. It is the Lord Jesus. And this is the glorious truth of which we are heirs today as Lutherans. The glorious truth that has been hidden from so many indigenous poor people in Bolivia under the dark cloud of medieval superstition and ignorance. As the Augsburg Confession says, the chief part of the gospel, the doctrine of grace and righteousness of faith, has been obscured by the medieval Roman Catholic Church and by many of the medieval superstitions in Bolivia today. It goes on. This gospel should stand out as the most prominent teaching in the church, in order that Christ's merits may be well known, and faith, which believes that all sins are wiped out for Christ's sake, that may be exalted above all human works. Then the Augsburg Confession goes on. This doctrine has been almost completely smothered by traditions and superstitions. Something tragically true we saw in Bolivia. Now, if we confess the gospel and confess Jesus our Savior correctly, there will be persecution of one kind or another. either overt persecution, as we see in some countries today, or more subtle persecutions, as we see in the United States and in the West. That's what Jesus says. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. You know, what's interesting to me is I got back, we're flying back on the plane, I was thinking to myself, I was already thinking about this text for this Sunday, I don't know of any native Bolivians who have been persecuted for burning llama fetuses. But Christians are persecuted every day in one way or another by confessing that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He is the only sacrifice for the sins of the world. Did you read the paper? I think it was Saturday. There was an editorial. I believe it was Saturday, maybe Friday. I think it was Saturday. By a fella, and the article is titled, "Let's Talk About Religion Over the Fourth, Even If We'd Rather Not." Did any of you see that article? Very interesting, where the author talked about Bernie Sanders, whom you may know, he ran for president, actually had quite a number of people that voted for him. Sanders criticizes a fellow named Russell Vaught, who is a devout Christian and nominee for the deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget. This fellow had argued that Muslims who reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God stand condemned before God. Sanders consequently argues that this fella and no Christian who believes that should be allowed to serve in public office. He calls this fella Vaught Islamophobic. And if you don't think the Christian church is not being persecuted in the United States, wake up and smell the coffee. It's happening in very subtle and sometimes even more overt ways. But if you tend to get scared about this and frightened, Jesus promises us, though, that when we confess Him, He will confess us too. Everyone who confesses me, I will confess him before my Father in heaven, Jesus says. That is, He will say exactly to God the Father what He told us here in His Word and Sacrament. And you heard it here a moment ago, didn't you? When as the pastor I stood up and I spoke God's Word to you, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all your sins. And when you die and go to heaven, Jesus is not going to say, "Surprise! You didn't get the whole story. You're not really forgiven." Jesus will say exactly what He told us He would say here on earth. "Your sins are forgiven. I've given you your baptism to assure you of it. And I give you my body and blood in the sacrament to assure you again your debt is paid for. Your sins are wiped out. You are declared not guilty." So why should we talk about the Augsburg Confession? Why should June the 25th, 1530 matter to us? Because, once again, it was by the Augsburg Confession and those men and women who confessed it that day, which has delivered us from all the medieval superstitions and ignorance and restored to us the glorious truth of the gospel. And you know, it's a very sad thing. While this confession was being presented in Augsburg, Germany, 1530, you know what was going on in Bolivia? The Spaniards were there, infecting Latin America with a form of medieval Christianity that wedded human superstition, pagan religion, and Christianity into one, resulting in a type of Christianity, folks, which is hardly recognizable as Christian, where the Lord Jesus has been replaced by Pachamama, conflated with the Virgin Mary. Without the Augsburg Confession, that really is the origin of the Lutheran Reformation. Without the Augsburg Confession and the reformation of the Catholic Church, which it initiated, we could also today be living in the darkness of spiritual superstition and ignorance, like so many poor indigenous people in Bolivia, burying llama fetuses, sacrificing to Pachamama, Mother Earth, without God, without hope in this world, as St. Paul writes. So today, I hope you will take some time to praise and thank God for the Augsburg Confession and the reformation of the church, and pray in the words of our closing hymn, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would tear the kingdom from your Son and bring to nothing all he has done," as has happened in Bolivia and is happening even in this country, believe it or not, in certain corners of our country. God deliver us from all deceit and false doctrine. and keep us faithful Lutherans. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would you join me now?